All right. Everybody's staring daggers at me over here because we just recorded 30 minutes of this podcast. And
we said, it's no good. Let's do a new version.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened.
We are perfectionists.
I have a new version of GarageBand. And hold on, let me look at this.
It's recording.
It
now,
is right? Now recording. It was not recording at all. So
it was the best thing we've ever done, too. It was so good.
30 minutes of comedy gold down the drain.
It was just okay.
It's in the ether.
Yeah. So let me start out here. I'm going to say that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.
What podcast is this?
You already said that.
No, I oh no, this is gonna be rough. Yeah. So you can subscribe on iTunes. This is the Big Planet Comics podcast.
Hey, there we
go. I didn't think I had to say that again.
Number 34?
No, issue 34. My name's Kevin.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jared.
Yeah, so
hello again.
We had a bunch of really good anecdotes and stuff.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't know.
Restate.
I'm so sorry, you guys. All right. So you can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/BigPlanetComics. I got my sound effects. And you can follow us on Twitter at Big Planet Comics.
Yep. All conveniently arranged for your pleasure.
So I asked you guys earlier what you've been up to. You told me some really interesting stories.
Yep.
I told you about how I ate a burger.
That was true.
But you didn't say where it was from.
It was just Chili's.
Oh, see?
Chili's.
See, we were missing out on the facts.
What's a happy hour?
We just had to start over the whole podcast because you didn't answer that question.
Yeah, who goes to Chili's and doesn't get baby back ribs?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Did you sing baby back ribs while you're eating your burger?
Yeah, but they had like some thick pieces of bacon. It was good.
Oh.
Did you? Where they slathered in barbecue sauce. No.
I didn't get any barbecue sauce.
Yeah, so, well, that's a slightly different story than we got before.
Yeah,
so that's
that is true.
Jared, do you have a different story besides the really interesting one that you told us about, like, ancient... Jared told us this whole story about, like, seeing these ancient chess pieces.
Yep.
And all this
stuff. I tied it into comic books and everything. It was amazing.
He did, but you can tell it again.
All right. Once upon a time. That's it.
Yeah, so...
No, I'm going to tell it. I went to New York.
Yeah, do it. No, because it was interesting. Go ahead.
I went to New York, and the Met has a division called the Cloisters, which is up in the very tip of Manhattan.
I've never heard of that before.
I want to do different stuff. It was in a movie.
What movie?
I think 7 Days of the Condor, 3 Days of the Condor.
Are you sure it wasn't You've Got Mail?
30
was
days,
it?
30 days.
I thought that was Seattle.
30 Days and 30 Nights?
Is it?
No.
Oh. No, 28 Days, not later. But the Sandra Bullock 28 one.
28 days of rehab? 9.5 weeks. One of these films.
Movies with numbers in them?
Yeah. 7.
Transformers 3? Transformers. All right, anyway. So, the Cloisters?
Yeah, it's part of the Met. And it's basically a bunch of rich white Americans who plundered all these bits of medieval art from Europe.
The best people.
Yes.
Rich white Americans.
Yes. And they built, basically, a fake monastery by taking all these parts and putting it together like some sort of Frankenstein monster into a new American-styled one, which actually looks awesome, and now it's a medieval art museum.
Sweet.
And their special exhibit was like 2 to 3 inch tall ivory chessmen from Trondheim, Norway.
Not just any kind of ivory.
Yes, walrus ivory, which I thought was the best part.
Although we shouldn't be like, oh, it's awesome because it's walrus ivory. I guess it's pretty terrible.
Ivory. Not really. Yeah. There are a lot of walruses around.
Yeah, but now they're like sad walruses with no tusks.
Yeah, you know.
Who are 1,000 years old.
They're not very nice, though.
No.
Yeah.
Kind of rough.
I deserve to die.
They don't like it when seals walk on them. I have video. But they're really good at playing saxophones.
That's true.
Well, at least according to the internet, which is where I get all my information. Yeah, so I know you already told it, but will you tell the people about the Berserker chess pieces?
Cause it's cool. So these little chess pieces are 2 to 3 inches tall, and they're really well carved. And the knight pieces, several of them had representations of like they're actual humanoid figures, and one was like a knight holding a sword and a shield. But it's a very cartoony look of him like leaning over a shield and biting the top of it. And that's because the Berserker warriors back then would get so... The myth was that they'd get so crazy angry before fighting that they just start chewing on their shields before they got to kill people.
Just like Wolverine.
Yep.
That is berserk.
Man, that story is berserk.
It's the berserkest.
Yeah. So what have I been up to?
You told me and I forgot.
Tell I just said again. I was playing Soul Calibur. I didn't have any good stories.
You just told us about how your wife made you cry by beating
me at Soul Calibur multiple times.
Even trying.
Not just me. She beat everybody at Soul Calibur. Well, there were a lot of people over here, and she just destroyed them. We all sat around feeling terrible about ourselves.
I let her win.
Sure you did.
Was it like you guys were just all playing and then suddenly the door got kicked in and this big wind came in, she came in and beat everyone and left?
Yeah, we used to play Soul Calibur all the time on Dreamcast, and she would beat me like, you know, 75% of the time. And so I think she just heard Mitsurugi's voice and it beckoned to her, and she came running downstairs and just destroyed all of us, and then went back upstairs and watched Downton Abbey.
Nice. That's well done.
Yeah, indeed. So, yeah, that's all the exciting stuff that we've been doing.
Yep.
I should say we've got some signings coming up at the store as well.
We do.
At the stores.
Stores.
The first one's February 24th, which is today. It's
Friday.
Or potentially, depending on when you're listening to this, yesterday.
Or tomorrow.
Or a week ago.
Yep.
Anyway, it was supposed to be Nate Powell, but he had to cancel due to unforeseen circumstances.
Yep. He is the artist on this new awesome graphic novel called The Silence of Our Friends.
Yep. But now the writer, Mark Long, is going to be coming instead.
Yes. Which is cool. Because yeah. His dad is the main character.
His dad is the main character.
Based on true events.
And his dad met Muhammad Ali, as Jared told us.
Yeah. I was talking to him, and he told me about his dad meeting Muhammad Ali and driving around Houston for 2 days, which is a good story. So ask him about that.
Yeah. And then on March 3rd, we've got our big Magic Bullet number 4 release party. Yeah, Magic Bullet's already out. So if you guys haven't seen it, it's a local comics newspaper. I think we're going to talk about it a little bit more when we
are
in the reviews section. But basically, at our Vienna store, we're having a big barbecue, and a bunch of the guys who worked on it are going to be there. It's going to be a good time.
Get your burgers, y'all. And then
But yeah, the guys, everyone Catered who worked Jones. On it who will be able to attend will hopefully have some other comics of their own to check out.
Yeah, that'll be cool too.
Yeah,
I'll be eating burgers.
Me too.
I'll be eating burgers.
Burger.
I'll be eating hot dogs
over a stack of comics.
I'll be eating chicken wings.
Hopefully. Yeah, if you come to pick up your comics that day, if you're a subscriber, they might be covered in like buffalo sauce.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Or like burger grease.
So it won't be too much different than usual.
Yeah,
usually it's just covered in Chinese food.
Yeah.
And then March 11th, we've got Dan Peraro, who does the Bizarro comic strip. He's going to be at our U Street store.
Bizarro.
Yeah, kind of like doing that, and then he's going to do like a stand-up thing after that. And then on April 14th, we've got Justin Jordan and Trad Moore, the guys that created...
Strange Talent.
Yeah, The Strange Talent of Luther Strode, which is one of our favorite new comics.
It's very violent.
It's going to be awesome.
It is very violent.
I'm going to hug them.
It's bound to get violent, too, when they're there.
Yeah, because Nick will try hugging them and they'll have to beat him up.
I'm going
to
fight them.
May
5th is Free Comic Book Day.
Yep, get some free comics.
But we've also got Jeremy Whitley, the writer of Princeless, and Jorge Aguirre, the writer and artist, I believe.
Just writer.
Oh, just the writer of Giants Beware, so that'll be cool.
Nice.
Which is a new first second kids
Both of
book
those are all ages books, so bring your kids and check it out.
And July 28th, we've got Matt Dembisky, friend of the show.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him. Who is that guy? and he's going to be signing his book, Jacques.
Sweet.
Coming out from Oni, which is really cool.
Shaka.
So we're going to change up the structure of the show a little bit since
since
we just answered these questions, and so instead of doing questions right now, I think we're just going to go straight into reviews. Let's do this.
Okay. They love comics, they're swell, except when they're written by Scott Lobdell.
I prefer important books like Louis Riel.
It's time for reviews.
I should say we're still going to answer all the questions that people sent in. It's just we're going to do it after the reviews.
Sorry.
All right. So. Starting out with...
Well, explain why this podcast may be a little late.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I thought I already did that.
You did.
Yeah, basically, usually we do this on Wednesday night, but this week we're doing it Thursday because there were a lot of graphic novels to read this week.
Many pages of comics to read.
Yeah, I'd say each of us read... more than 1,000 pages of comics.
I read a mad amount of comics.
I read almost everything and all the new No-Brow comics. And
which we'll cover next week, which are pretty cool. But so let's just get right into these and start with the Africa hardcover by Herman.
We're going with Herman.
We're going with Herman. Or it might be Herman.
There was debate.
But anyway, this is a new Dark Horse book. I reprint of an older thing, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, this is just like straight European genre comic, in this case an adventure comic, where there's a guy who's kind of a game warden for like a safari park in Africa, and his main thing is he's defending all the animals against poachers. And he's like got a very small crew of guys who are armed with guns who go out and literally have gun battles with poachers.
Yeah.
With like flies a little airplane, has a few jeeps, and that's about it. And it's... very violent and
this is what
dark.
The Zookeeper with Kevin James was based on, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Or no, not that. I Bought a Zoo.
No, Madagascar 2.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed by this because I thought it was like an adaptation of the Toto song, but instead it was about a gamesman.
The gamesman.
A big game non-hunter.
There you go.
He wasn't a hunter.
A big game
Anyway,
hugger.
He was a guy who worked on a game reservation.
There you go.
Or no, it wasn't a game reservation. It was just whatever. We worked in the jungle.
Goodness gracious. God. You're really bringing a lot to this conversation.
I'm going way off track. I already did this once. All right. Yeah. Anyway. But anyway, he witnesses something that he's not supposed to, and he's on the run with this reporter. And it's about him just basically being on the run through the jungles of Africa.
Yep.
That's it. That's all I got.
That's all you got.
Well, that's what it's about. Did you guys like it? I didn't actually get a chance to read it. We sold out of it pretty fast.
Yeah, first, Herman or however, he's drawn a million comics for a long time. He's really, really good. It's got good coloring on it, too.
Dart's great, yeah.
Yeah, he's done a lot of historical stuff. He's done, like, some medieval ones and other thrillers. He did the Jeremiah sci-fi series, which got made into a very short-lived TV show, if anyone remembers that.
Which is coming back out as well.
Yeah, in comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't that TV show have, like, Luke Perry in it?
I think it did.
And Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. So there you go. For fans of Malcolm Jamal.
Yeah, this is for fans of Theo.
Yep.
Yeah, but so did you guys like it though?
I liked it all right.
Yeah, I think you said you had troubles with the translation. Like a lot of these are kind of a little clunky in how the translation, but I thought the story was good.
And the art's astounding.
Yeah, I feel like there have been so many good translations of things recently. True. Particularly like the Kim Thompson translations.
I was gonna say anything Kim Thompson.
Yeah,
translates.
He's been doing great stuff. But especially the Tardy books have been so great that I've started to notice more when there's a bad translation. Or not I shouldn't say a bad translation. It's not bad.
No, but just like not as facile or like smooth. Or like colloquial as his Thompson stuff is.
A little bit off. There was I wasn't sure what the main part of the story was, that like what they were running away because of. Like they witnessed something, which I was like, I don't know what they're witnessing, and then they were on the run. But I was like, it was kind of confusing. Like it was kind of like maybe the military was testing something or like encroaching on the border or something. I couldn't figure it out. I don't know.
It was the military like attacking people in a different country, like across the border,
something like that. It was
kind of was intrigue and politics, and then they went corruption, and
he was like, "We witnessed this. We should be on the run now." And I was like, "What?"
Yep. And then everyone tries to kill him, so they should be on the run.
That was all right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's Africa by by Armand. Yeah, yeah. So moving on to let's see what should we do next. We've got Ampney Crucis investigates vile bodies. This is a new soft cover. By Ian Edginton, who wrote Scarlet Traces.
Yep.
And Leviathan and Stickleback and Extinct and the second Scarlet Traces book, Kingdom of the Wicked. He does a lot of good stuff. And then the art in this is by Simon Davis, who's a guy that I don't actually
know. Yeah, he's good, though.
Yeah, he's got an interesting style. It's a very... Maybe Simon Bisley-ish.
Like Simon Bisley crossed with Alex Ross. Like
Because it's very realistic, too. Yeah. But... I guess the basic, I don't know, are there a lot of these Ampney Crucis stories?
I can't tell. It started off and it seemed like this could have been a second or third book in a series, but I'm pretty sure it was the first appearance of this guy. Because at the back they have like sketches of like, how will this character be? What should kind of guy should he be? So I think it's the first one.
So Ampney Crucis, the main character, is...
a very posh British lord.
Yeah, like a posh version of Sherlock Holmes or something. Yeah. But he was basically in World War One. He saw... like a Cthulhu-esque type monster, and it drove him insane.
Out in the middle of the trenches, yeah.
And at the point in this is like 10 years later. It takes place in 1928, and it seems as though he's regained his sanity.
Barely.
But now he has this ability to see like otherworldly, like phantasmagorical creatures and things like that.
The way I kind of look at this is like Hellboy crossed with Sherlock Holmes, crossed with Wooster and Jeeves, because he's this very proper British guy. He has a monocle on in the middle of these adventures, but he's also got like a lower class, like, you know, mustachioed, like tough sidekick manservant who helps him out. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And the story in this is pretty insane.
Yeah.
Basically there are these giant bees that,
or something demonic bees.
Yeah. They're like demonic bees. And somebody was using their, venom as an aphrodisiac.
Sure.
And it caused Ampney Crucis's old lover to become like a crazy, what does she call him? A rutting
satyr or something.
Yeah. And then she kills him. And so it causes Crucis to go investigate all this, and it becomes something much larger than that.
Yep.
But it was a pretty interesting story. I mean,
yeah, it was really weird. And since it's to go forward into the future, this is published by 2000 AD. Remember that. We'll come back to it.
We're a little out of sorts and confused about
it. Will all become clear later.
Yeah. We're time traveling right now.
Yes.
I love Ian Edginton, but I didn't actually read this yet.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff. There were definitely a couple things that not that some of us didn't get to read.
And, but since this is from 2008, which is a serialized British magazine, there is a second story in here in which they go up north and all the like factory workers of Britain who go on holiday to like a single village for like their 1 weekend off or 1 week of the year they have vacation. Terrible things happen, and there's much murder and mayhem. It's pretty awesome. Good.
Also, because it was serialized in a magazine initially, there are definitely a couple points where they're kind of recapping the story that you're in the middle of reading.
Yeah.
But it's not too off-putting. I've definitely seen much worse examples. Overall, it's a really fun story, and I think the like what you were saying about Jeeves and Wooster, that droll sense of humor.
The writing's so funny, like especially the two of them back and forth is so good.
I think that's what makes it work and makes it not just like...
He literally stays in character, that, like, you know, making sure his monocle's in place as he's shooting a revolver at some tentacled monstrosity that's killing his friends, and it's funny.
Nice.
And awful and amazing.
Yeah. So definitely, I mean, if you like stuff like, I guess like Victorian Undead, which was also...
Good point, yeah.
That was the United Kingdom as well, right? Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. That guy writes every British comic that ever came out.
Yeah.
Definitely check this out. All right, so moving on to Chico and Rita hardcover. This is by Fernando Chereba. He wrote this. He also wrote the movie Chico and Rita
that this
is based on. Yeah, okay. And then this is drawn by Harvey L. Mariscal, who was like the production designer basically on the movie as well.
That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah, at first I wasn't sure, and then I kind of checked it out. Yeah. But so this is pretty much a direct adaptation of the animated film Chico and Rita
that came out?
Just like last year, okay. I think. Yeah, very recently. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, this is a pretty interesting story. It takes place in Cuba.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's about a pianist, and he meets this woman who's a singer, and they fall in love. It's a love story.
It goes
through time. I mean, it starts off with him remembering it because he's old, and you're like, oh, what happened to her? And it goes through the kind of the typical happenings of like a musical career.
Yeah.
They have some successes, some failures. There's like a kind of shady producer.
Yeah.
And then his producer is kind of shady, and I don't know. But the main part of it is all about their kind of love affair and how it's all like everything is different based on how their success changes. Like,
right. Like they really get a lot of
like one of them gets successful and has to move to New York, and then the other one, it has a really like depressing kind of right before the end part.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, but the through line through the whole book is definitely their relationship. I think I don't want to compare this to something so lofty, but in a little bit of a way it reminded me of Habibi.
Yeah,
the way that Habibi and or like Zam and I can't remember the name of the main character in Habibi.
My gosh, what's her name?
But anyway, way they're sort of, you know, together, and then they lose each other and they come back together. And that kind of happens a few times in this book.
Yeah. So it's a strong, like, romance story, you know, very good characters. But two things I thought that were really cool about is, like Nick said, it's got so much music running through it. I mean, that's their lives and their careers and how it ties them together and what they find each other.
Yeah, but it's also got cameos by all these famous musicians.
Like, the people they run into and, like jazz people and stuff. But also the backdrop of, like, the Cuban scene and, like, how they integrate with America and, like, racism. And it's so many different themes and stuff together.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff in it about how, like, the politics in Cuba affect the music scene in Cuba and things like that. The only place I really feel this is maybe lacking is there are certain scenes in it that are very obviously meant to be set to music or are these sort of animation things that maybe don't come across quite as well in a book.
There's basically, like, several segments where there's, like, 10 pages of just like dialogue from a song, like lyrics from a song and somebody singing them, where it's like, this would be great if I could hear the song.
Yeah. Which is a place where maybe the comics medium isn't best served. There's also a silent scene when Chico first goes to New York, that seems to be like probably a very musical animated sequence in the book that seems to maybe be based on one of the scenes in Singing in the Rain. And I mean, it looks great, but you get the sense that like you're reading an adaptation of something in those small parts.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, I think it was a really well done graphic
novel. You said you'd seen the movie and you said the art was even better and the animation was even better in the movie.
Yeah. It's weird. This has a slightly thicker line than the animation in the movie. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like sometimes it's a little muddied, but overall, I don't think it's bad at
no,
all.
I'm just interested in that because I thought the art in this was great. I mean, a lot part of it was that the coloring was so well done. I've been noticing a lot of coloring recently has really been hitting me really well. But this, I thought the art was great and it was beautiful coloring. And
yeah, the color palette is very vibrant. similar to the movie.
Okay,
I mean, it's cool. Definitely a movie worth checking out. But I think the graphic novel's worth checking out as well.
Yeah, it made me really want to check out the movie.
Yeah, me too. Sure, but this is a really good book.
Yeah, and I feel like if you didn't know there was a movie of this, when you read it, it doesn't feel like
an adaptation or some knockoff.
It's not lacking. No, it's very cool. You definitely get the full story, and it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, really good characters.
Yeah, so that's the Chico and Rita hardcover. It's good stuff.
Yep.
All right, so moving on to Explorer, the Mystery Boxes softcover. This is by Kazuhiko Ishii, Raina Telgemeier, Dave Roman, Jason Cafoe, Rad Seacrest, Stuart Livingston, Johan Mate, Emily Carroll, and Stephanie Ramirez.
That's a good lineup.
It is a good lineup. This is the second book, I think, in the Explorer series.
Because they did Flight Explorer, which is... So basically, Flight was like... Kazuhiko Ishii, how do you say his name?
Yeah, Kazuhiko Ishii. Flight was a series of anthologies that he kind of edited. Yeah, that were all done by animators who were working in the comics medium. And then Flight Explorer was the kids' version of this.
Yep.
And now this is Explorer the Mystery Boxes, which maintains the anthology part of it, but I don't think this is all animation people anymore.
Oh, really?
Well, because Emily Carroll's not animation person,
like,
as far as
Dave
I know.
Dave Roman and Raina Telgemeier are comics people. And
But that being said, this was great.
It was so awesome. I mean, I didn't even realize at first, but there's a big subtitle, The Mystery Boxes. So all these books had, all these stories, they're short stories, but they all have the theme of some box-like object that is
a mysterious box.
Yeah, but I didn't pick up on that until I was like the third story. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we have heard of some of these people before from other anthology and stuff. Like obviously some of them are known to us, but all the people in this are really good artists.
Yeah, Emily Carroll.
Yeah, God. We've mentioned her before in the last few.
Yeah, she had a story in The Sparrow. I love her stuff. I've kind of followed her on the internet for a while, and I'm glad to see she's doing more comics work. But she's got a really cool style that's kind of like a kid's style, but then it's got a little bit of a Kate Beaton feel to it too. Yeah, she's just amazing.
Yeah, and her story in this one's actually
super
kind of creepy. Yeah. Actually, a lot of these were a little creepy.
Yeah.
They all had kind of funny, like, cute endings for the most part.
Yeah.
But some of them had, like, some really creepy things going on. And a lot, the Kazuhiko Ishii one, I love him. I love Amulet. And, but, God, it had such a weird, kind of depressing ending.
Yeah, it was a very kind of melancholy story. But then some of the stuff in here is really fun. Like, the Raina Telgemeier, Dave Roman story is just, like kind of, I don't know, like a goofy adventure with wizards and stuff.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome.
A couple of the stories didn't maybe hit as hard as the other ones, but they were all good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like all of them were enjoyable. It's just some were really great.
Yeah. And that's the way it's always going to be with an anthology.
No. I've seen plenty of anthologies where some are terrible, and this was a really good one.
Yeah. There's definitely nothing terrible in this.
No. Yeah. This was all like every story in here was like good or amazing.
Yes. I'd say what age is this for? Probably 8 to 12, something like that.
Yeah, like Nick said, some stuff that were like,
yeah, 13 year olds, no.
Yeah, it's too scary. But yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, definitely check it out. All right, so moving on to maybe my favorite book of the week.
Oh.
This was the Goliath hardcover by Tom Gall.
It was awesome.
It was so really good.
Yeah. What's it about, Kevin?
It is about, I don't know if I want to say exactly what it's about.
Yeah,
that's
the problem.
Yeah, it's about a Goliath that's sent to the front lines of a war, basically to...
scare the enemy.
Yeah, intimidate the enemy. Basically, he's sent out as the champion of one side of this war to challenge any champion from the other side, basically for a winner-takes-all fight. But the kind of...
Well, it's Goliath from the Bible, right? Because, I mean, that's in the... It's Bible verses is how it starts. It starts out from the verses, like, from the Bible about Goliath.
Kevin
like,
was
it's
not
really a secret.
I actually didn't realize it was
Kevin
Goliath
was
until
not
the very
picking
end.
Up on the biblical
Oh, you didn't
references.
Realize it was till the end?
No.
No, it's not, like, a secret. Like, the the first part is, like, about the, you know, the Philistines and the blood. And it's, like, the verses from the Bible.
Oh, yeah. I don't read the Bible.
Kevin, it's about Goliath.
Kevin got kicked out of Sunday school.
I actually did get kicked out of Sunday school.
Wow.
For asking too many questions was the reason.
Was it, like, is this the real Goliath or is this a different Goliath?
No, it was more philosophical than that.
I bet
this is very good.
I was like, why do you believe it if you don't know it's true? And they were like, just get out of here.
They're like, well, Thomas Aquinas said. So they followed up with
no They were like, just leave. Just take this advent calendar.
Yeah. Abelard? Did they go to Abelard? He's a good one.
No, they didn't. But anyway.
It's an adaptation of the Goliath story from the Bible, from Goliath's point of view.
Right. And so in this, Goliath is a very like meek.
Yeah, he's just a big dude. He's not just a warrior, a big dude.
Yeah, like he's a big softy. He's not a warrior at all. So he's sent to the front lines, but he does not want to fight anybody.
Yeah.
He just wants to kind of hang out.
Yep.
And it's something about the pacing of this and just the way it's told and kind of the starkness of the art by Tom Gauld, who I'm trying to think of who to compare him to. He's got a little bit of an Anders Nilsson thing, yeah. A little bit of an Edward Gorey thing.
Kind of pointillist in some
way.
Yeah,
definitely. There's
Kevin Huizenga a little
bit. Yeah, I think that's fair too. And just the way it's told is like, it's, I don't know. It's kind of laid back.
I think me and you probably had a completely different experience with it because I guess you didn't know it was Goliath in the Bible. It's in the beginning. So like the whole time I was like, oh God.
I knew. Yeah.
He's going to die or something.
This ain't
going
to go good.
I know the story, you know. But I guess since you didn't know it, you were probably more like, oh, you know, near the end, like, oh, it's Goliath.
Yeah, you said you're kind of shocked.
Yeah, I was actually. Awesome. I was like, wait, what? Oh,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
that guy.
What a twist
from that claymation show.
Goliath.
Yeah. Yeah, but this was actually published by Drawn and Quarterly.
Yeah,
because it really feels like a Drawn and Quarterly like autobiographical comic. That you do, like, you know, the guy is just like a guy who's living his life, just like doing his thing, and then he gets tricked into doing this other stuff.
It's like his diary comic about dying.
Yeah. It was amazing, but yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it's really well done. The art, his art, isn't really like anybody else's art, and it's great. And no, it's actually a really funny book.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
yeah.
It did.
And it's got a lot of personality, and it's good stuff.
Really good.
Yeah, awesome. Definitely check it out. All right, so moving on to the Hector Umbra hardcover. This is by
Uli.
Yep, Uli Oesterle.
Uli Oesterle.
This is the reason I didn't read a lot of other trades.
Yeah, that's true. This is definitely. A wordy book.
A weighty tome.
But there's a lot of story to tell.
Yeah.
So,
like, all right. So this Uli is a German guy who, so this comic is actually set in Munich.
Yep.
And when it first started off, it was just like a really good like group of friends hanging out and like going to bars and stuff. And
yeah, one of their friends like a DJ, and they're like, "Oh, we're gonna go to his
show." Yeah, and they're like trying to pick up girls and talking about how to meet people and stuff. And so for me, I was like really excited just because it was such good characters and such good dialogue and drama.
Yeah.
That when the twist comes, I was kind of disappointed because I'm just like, I just want to see what these guys are gonna do.
Yeah, I would have been less surprised. I had flipped through it before, so I knew that some crazy stuff was coming up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there's not really a twist. I mean, the twist is, like, pretty early on.
That's true. But
like, basically, there's the one friend is DJ, and he has this big show going on. And during the show, something crazy happens, and he disappears.
Yep.
And so Hector Umbra is...
the main character.
Main character.
Buddy.
Yeah, who's his best friend, is trying to find him.
Yeah, but very early on there, like, you don't pick up on it till later. He did a very good, like, job of mixing in little bits and pieces. There's, like... a very crazy woman walking around painting stuff on the walls.
Yeah,
and you start to realize there's lots of like strange stuff happening in the background that slowly starts getting fed into why these people are important and what's actually going on.
Yeah. And it's,
I
don't know how much to say about it. I guess
I know that the crazy stuff is awesome, but I don't want to spoil it.
It's pretty early on. I don't know.
Mention it.
It's like
important.
Basically like these crazy, basically subconsciously created monsters. They're from our brains. They're like delusions, basically.
Yeah,
that are
sort of.
They're basically they're brought to life somehow. It's weird. It's really hard to explain.
It's handled very well in the comic, but it's hard to explain. But it's like, you know, every time you see a crazy person walking around, that there's really like invisible monsters like tormenting them.
Yeah, inside
and those
their brains.
But they are like huge visible things. If you're crazy yourself, you'll see them or whatever.
They take form. And...
yeah, but. But it was like three or four sections to this book.
Yeah, so it was like divided into points. Chapters. I'm not sure if
chapters.
It was like three albums or something.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
European or whatever.
But yeah, it was a long story, but like really good.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird because it was only like 210 pages. And so it was like Chico and Rita. But I read Chico and Rita in like half an hour. This took me like 3 hours.
Yeah, well, Chico and Rita was like a lot of emotion and like setting. This is like plot and craziness and
really
monsters.
Dense.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
What do
you think,
Kevin?
It was
great.
I thought it was definitely a wordy book, but I loved it.
But not like, that's like, it makes it sound bad.
No, it's like, not bad. I mean, I talked to you guys a little bit about this earlier, just that I felt like in parts it got a little too exposition-y.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But just kind of like people explaining what they're doing a little too much, where I already feel like I understand what's going on.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, there is so much plot in this book that you it has to be the way it is.
That's true.
Yeah.
And the art's great. It's
very, we've only talked about the writing, the art.
Oh. The art's awesome. It's very like, I don't know, like Gabriel Ba kind of.
Yeah, I can see that. And this was written and drawn by the same guy, which is which is always cool. But
and again, coloring amazing. This is just like as a whole package was really well done.
Yeah, and the art's it does remind me of Gabriel Ba, but then it's got a very cartoony thing too, like the kind of main villains in it.
Oh, they're so good.
These kind of aliens or whatever
monsters
they are.
Or
they almost have like an Invader Zim kind of look to them, which is very cool as well.
It was definitely my favorite thing of the week. I loved it.
Yeah, it's just and it's really funny. All the characters are really kind of well thought out, I feel like. And
they all have really good
it was entertaining. And this is a fairly new company in the US called Blank Slate that put it out, and they seem to be doing some good stuff so far. The only other thing...
Are they in Britain?
Yeah, they're a British company, and they did Sleepyheads and a couple other things. A couple things I picked up when I was in London that are great. But it seems like they've got a lot more coming out in the U.S. now, which is pretty exciting.
In the pipeline.
Yeah. So, Hector Umbra. It's a very, very good book.
So many good things this week.
There were so many good things this week.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to another really good thing. This is Is That All There Is? This is a hardcover collection of Joost Swarda's stuff.
According to
Chris Ware's introduction. Yeah, I've been calling him Joost Swarda for a long time.
Joost.
Yeah. But so this is a collection of Swarda stuff. It seems like mostly from the 70s as far as I can tell.
I was kind of mad because they have the table of contents. This is almost all shorts. Some of them are quite long, of like 20 pages or so, but a lot of them are like single page stuff. In the very back of it, they do list all the things by the year they were published. And we've got 1972 up to 2010.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, never mind. It's not all from the 70s.
No, but that's the thing. Like, his style is so good that you can tell some things that seem older, but they're all like masterful, even back, 40 or 50 years ago. So,
yeah. And Swarda has a really like fun, light storytelling style, but I mean the main draw of this is the artwork.
I don't know. Yeah. His stories are really good.
Yeah. I think they're really good too.
His
but
art's
I,
astounding.
Yeah, but yeah. I, the art, the sort of the architectural influences and stuff in his art. Basically, he's got like a style that's like Tintin by way of Frank Lloyd Wright or something.
Yes, yeah. Or Daniel Torres. Probably Torres is influenced by him, but
probably.
But, like the clear line, but with like the amazing architectural and like very Art Deco sensibility to like all the architecture and cars and clothing and hair, and it's crazy.
The stories in this are completely insane.
Yeah, all over the place, but just fascinating. Yeah. I mean, Joost Swarda is like huge. He is immensely popular, immensely influential. Like, he's been around since the 70s, but immensely influential in Europe. Here, nobody knows who he is.
Yeah.
So this is like, sort of have such a huge selection of his work over for such a long time. But try, name a few stories, Nick. Like, just
I couldn't even name them. I mean,
what happened?
There's one that's just random where he walks into a room and has sex with this woman and then leaves. And I don't know, there's a weird twist at the end. It's like, there's like a lot of like weird little jokes that just happen on like the last panel. And there's one about this guy who was investigating all these suicides, and he thinks they might be caused by
someone like faking
specific person
or whatever. Yeah.
I'll just tell you the whole thing. And then at the end, he ends up like committing suicide in like 20 different ways.
Yeah.
And then there's a story about used condoms that start their own society in a dump.
Yeah. Yep. And then there's one about a guy who meets a guy on the street who turns out to be a super criminal that's escaped from the U.S. and like says, come on, we're going to fly back in a biplane all the way across the ocean to like overtake the U.S. criminal world again.
Yeah.
And
some of them are like, insanely like ambitious like that. Like there's a story in here about like a building in Paris that is larger than the Eiffel Tower, or maybe it's in Germany, that looks like the Eiffel Tower, but it has this pendulum in it to like,
and it's been built underground, so like the final part of this building will be launching it from underneath the ground to rise to the earth, and they're all crazy.
Yeah, you were talking about the clear line style on this. Actually, Joost Swarda is the guy that coined
the term
clear line. Oh, yeah, or lean clair, I guess it's called. But and he delivers it so well. I don't know. But like I was saying before about the sort of architectural nature of a lot of his art as well. Right. I mean, you see it in like his page structure and his panels and stuff, but also in the actual architecture, like when he's drawing things.
Oh my God.
It's pretty amazing. And he does some interesting things. Like there's one story that you read right side up and then you flip it over and read the same story upside down.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting. I mean, the whole book is just, it's great.
One thing that was a little weird is a little bit of the translation is a little weird. Everything is translated.
You just mean the Euros thing?
Yeah. There's a part where like I read the beginning and it was like, this story is from 1974.
Right.
And then like the guy's like, hey, try this pamphlet. It's only 100 or 1.25 euros. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, there's another story with a ransom that's euros too. I mean, that you're always going to get that.
Oh, yeah, the crime stories. Oh, yeah, there's so much. There's such a variety in this, and they're all so good. This is, I'm astounded by this
book. It's craziness. It's good.
Yeah, it's definitely very, very good.
Highly recommended.
Highly recommended.
So amazing.
Yeah, so that's, is that all there is by Joost Swarta.
And that's all there is.
Yeah. All right, so moving on to a giant anthology book that just came out. This is called Color Climax, Nordic Comics Now. This is all Norwegian artists?
No. The guy, it was very interesting. The guy said that he wanted it to focus on like the Nordic countries. So it's like Norway and Finland and Sweden and Denmark. And he's like, yeah, and then you've got like Latvia and Lithuania. And I just don't want to put them in this one. They can do their own book later. I'm sure some of those guys will be big soon or something. So it was a very curated list by the editor of this book. But he has great taste. Admittedly, a big tradition to draw from, but
I have a list of all the names. It'll be on the webpage, but I'm just going to say various.
Almost right now. All of them have umlauts or slashes through vowels. That's I'll say.
It's true. But it's definitely all pulled together by the fact that it's all good.
Yeah.
And the guy does seem to have good taste, although the variety of styles in this is kind of astounding.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest part. It's like, most anthologies you just have to start off with, and either you're drawing from your friends or like a theme or something. This, it seemed like most of these people are from, I say like a generation and maybe a generation and a half. So a lot of them seem like very young, like, you know, 20s to 30s for most of the people in this. And they're all extremely accomplished. Some of them are totally not my style. Like I just look at them and I don't like the art, but it's really well done art.
Yeah.
Are really good stories. Some of the stories in this, you know, didn't have much to them, but others were off the wall or just amazing, and some are in beautiful color, and I don't know. It's amazing.
Yeah, just to get an idea of kind of where a lot of this is coming from, I would say it's pretty similar to, I would say, the more underground kind of artists right now. Like, there's stuff in here that I would say is evocative of stuff like Michael DeForge or Jesse Moynihan, but then even some of the more autobiographical stuff maybe reminds me, like Gabrielle Bell. But the whole, it's like everything in the book is really solid.
Yeah. And some of these, I saw them and I'm like, why is this guy not famous? Like, that's how good some of these are.
Yeah. The weird thing with anthologies is like, this is like a lot of these people, it's probably like their first published story, you know? Wow. So, I mean, probably we're going to be seeing more from this area. I mean, obviously people at Fantagraphics are probably excited about this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Were there any of the stories that really stood out for you? One that stood out for me was there was a story about
the comic collector one.
Yeah, this guy who sort of made friends with this guy on the internet who collects Donald Duck comics, but also reads his personal blog, so like knows kind of way too much information about him and how his life is falling apart, and goes and meets up with this guy, and it's a very depressing story, but you know, there's kind of just, it's also just about like a connection that people can make over sort of shared interests, and it's
shared nostalgia.
It's really interesting. And then that's followed up by a story that's like has a guy like pooping rainbows.
Yeah.
But they're both really good.
Yeah. There's one about like old beekeepers, which that I think was maybe my favorite art in there.
The end of that story is really weird.
Yeah. There's another one about some guy who's like,
the guy in the orange
suit. It's
kind
of like the cabbie-in level of weirdness. It's a guy with orange suit and like, I don't even
know. Was the one where the art reminded me a little of Jesse Moynihan.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just flipping through.
Yeah, now. There's a lot of stuff in here. I mean, it'd be a lot to go through every story.
Colorful. Oh, they're also good.
Yeah, there are a couple artists that repeat.
Some short stuff, yeah.
Just some short stuff, but that kind of pulls it together more, too. It's a great book.
So good.
Yeah. And it's definitely worth checking out. There's enough good stuff in there. If you like stuff like Kramer's Ergo or Kramer's Ergot, I don't know how to say it.
I'd say Ergo.
But it's definitely worth checking out.
One of the best anthologies I've ever read.
That's high praise.
That is high praise.
Yeah. All right, so moving on to, we probably just want to mention that this is out.
What's that?
Magic Bullet number 4.
What is it?
The Magic Bullet is a local comics newspaper. I think I already said that earlier.
That's we're having a barbecue.
But, we're having a barbecue. But this has a bunch of really great people in it, like Kevin Panetta and Nick Leopis.
Yeah,
no, Nick and I both have stories in this, and that's kind of fun. But then also Matt Dembicki, who we mentioned a little earlier, has stuff in here. Yeah. There's just a bunch of cool stuff in here, and it's free. Classen. It's definitely worth checking
it's
out.
It's a newspaper-sized free comics anthology.
Yeah, definitely. It's good. Definitely, if you make it into any of the stores, pick it up, because it's good stuff.
It's free, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it is free.
Can't go wrong.
Oh, did we mention that it's free?
Can't go wrong with free.
All right, so moving on to Mondo number 1 of 3 by Ted McKeever.
Yep.
So you are like the biggest Ted McKeever fan ever, Kevin.
Is that true? I mean, I'm definitely a big Ted McKeever fan.
You're the maybe not biggest ever. The biggest of the three of us.
Yeah, I definitely, especially, you know, probably like 10 years ago when he was a little more prolific, I was really into stuff like, I liked his Faith miniseries a lot. I loved Batman Nosferatu and Superman Metropole, Wonder Woman Blue Amazon, and a bunch of the other stuff he did. I have to say, though, this Mondo is not my favorite Ted McKeever thing.
Fair enough. Like, honestly, I read this, one of the first things I read this week, and
this was the first thing I read this week.
Maybe it's the first thing I read, too. Like, all these other...
Oh, my God, you guys are like sisters.
Yeah.
Blood sisters.
It just, like, it fell behind all these other things so quickly. I was just... Like,
yeah,
everything else was astounding. And
it's about this homeless guy. Works at a chicken factory. They mutate the they hit the chickens with radiation to make them big. He gets sucked into the machine and turns into a big dude,
chicken dude.
Yeah, sort of. And I don't know. It just feels very outdated. Like,
really?
It just feels like a story that
it was like pushing the boundaries 15 years
feels like,
ago.
Yeah, it feels like an indie comic from like 1992.
Yeah.
Which is when he was awesome.
And it's and the thing is, his art's not as good as it was back then either. So I don't know. It's just...
It's still pretty good, though.
Yeah, well, I didn't think it was very good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I liked what he was doing. It was weird enough, but it's still very accomplished. So, yeah, I guess if you read a lot of his other stuff, it'll be disappointing.
Yeah, that might be it, too. I was disappointed in this more than anything. I didn't think it was bad. It didn't grab me, especially compared to a lot of the other stuff that came out this week. There were a lot of comics this week.
Yeah, I read so many like really, really good things that this was just like seemed like garbage.
I think that's it. Yeah, just a bad week to just come out.
Yeah, it gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
that's Mondo number 1.
Woo!
All right, so moving on to this is No Place Like Home number 1. This is by Angela Taroto and Richard Jordan.
This was great.
This was good stuff. Yeah, this is a new ongoing series from Image.
Yep.
By two people that have not really done anything before, which I think is pretty interesting.
Image has been awesome recently.
Yeah.
So you know how you didn't really understand Goliath was Goliath from the Bible. I did not get any Wizard of Oz references from this title.
Really? Not from like the title?
No. Not from the title? Not from that it was in Kansas?
Yeah. There's the title, and I'm like, just keep going, you know?
You're like, this book called No Place Like Home, that's about a tornado in Kansas.
Yeah. You figured out when the flying monkey showed up.
Yes.
That was
a clue.
We just ordered issue 3 of this, and there's a flying monkey on the cover.
On the cover. And I was like, oh.
There's a flying monkey in this issue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there is, isn't there? Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, took me a while.
Yeah. Basically, this is a story about a girl coming home. She's been living away from Kansas for a while.
In L.A., I think, for 5 years.
Yeah, she's not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah. And now she is in Kansas again. And then she comes home, and because her parents died in a tornado.
Or so it appears,
yeah. So basically, she comes home, she reunites with her friends, and she slowly finds out that...
Maybe not as all as it seems.
Strange things that are afoot at the Circle K.
I don't think I said that right.
Yeah, that was weird. That was weird. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. She starts finding out that nothing is as it seems. And
there you go.
Yeah. Oh, nice save.
And something really weird is going on in their town, and it ends with a crazy cliffhanger. But it's a good hook into the book. It's not like... I was a little scared because, like, there's a lot of, like, Wizard of Oz-related stuff.
That's true.
And, the cover was a little... much, and like I thought this was going to be really goth and weird, but it was actually good. It was well written.
That's very compelling.
No, it was good. It was definitely the cover made it seem like it was going to be
a trashy or
like
book.
About like a sad girl who likes My Chemical Romance, but
mixed with grim fairy tales or something.
Oh, that you mean like Xenoscope's Grim Fairy Tales?
Yeah,
not like the real Grim Fairy Tales, but
true.
Yeah, and so the way that it starts, like you know, you basically described what happens in the book pretty well, but from what I was reading in the back, there's an interview with the creators, and they're saying that, you know, once we get a little further into this story, it's going to be in Oz.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, awesome. And reading this first issue, you would never get that sense.
That was where I was just like, oh.
So, I think hopefully this is going to be a pretty cool book. I feel like it's well written. Like,
the art was really good.
It's really
too.
Well written.
Yeah, the dialogue's all really good. Yeah. It's really clearly told, and I feel like it's not full of stuff that it doesn't need to be full of. You know, it's just like the story is told pretty straightforward, and but done well.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be a good.
Yeah, this feels like another image. It
and the art's good. It's not like a It's not mind blowing or anything, but it's definitely solid. Really competent and it's never confusing and
certainly it's a lot of people talking in this one. Yeah. It's never like who's talking or like I don't know who this character is. Like everyone looks different and it's got like their own styles and.
Or you're never like, I wish this person would shut up.
Also true.
Like happens when I read some comics. But
yep.
Yeah, no. So No Place Like Home is definitely worth checking out. Hopefully some people pick it up because it's meant to be an ongoing series. Yeah. And I want to see what happens. So buy this.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So moving on to a little retrofit book that came out this week called Pocket Full of Coffee. This was by Joe Desi, I'm going to say.
Sure.
Retrofit, we've talked about quite a few retrofit books at this point. They did Drag Bandits and Bowman.
Raw Power. Fungus.
Yep. This book is not like those books.
Nope. This seems like...
Well, all those books kind of have a different style.
Yeah, but they're all insane.
Well, I don't know. Drag Bandits isn't
really... It's pretty insane. It's about people in drag that rob people.
Historically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Fungus and Bowman and Raw Power are all
kooky. No, Nick has a good point. This is more similar to Drag Bandits. It's a straightforward story.
Yeah.
As opposed to just off the wall.
Well, story is a bit of a stretch with this one.
Recording of an event. which he says right up front, this is a day in the life of my family, basically. So it's an autobiographical thing of this comic book guy who I assume is the author, since it's the same name, who has a young son and his day that they spend together doing stuff. It was well drawn. I just think it was not the most exciting day.
I thought it was, I don't know.
I didn't say not interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting. And then there's I was a little confused by the very end, the last page. I thought maybe there was some weird twist going on. But
is that where the flying monkey showed up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have a lot to say about it. It was, the art's really nice. It's like done in a nice ink wash style.
Yeah.
I just wasn't terribly interested in most of what was going on. And then it gets a little pretentious at points too. The guy's like taking a crap and he's like, I see these faded Japanese postcards on my wall and they remind me of my faded interest in Japanese culture.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't want to listen to anything anymore. But, you know, whatever. I mean, it's a little, it's, you know, I don't know. I
liked it well enough.
No. Yeah, it's okay.
I think we'll go with okay well enough.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks. Okay well enough. Put that on the back.
On the blurbs.
On the fourth printing. All right, so moving on to Prophet number 22. This is by Brandon Graham and Simon Roy.
Holy crap.
This is another of our second issue readings to see how they compare to the first one that we've been trying to do.
Yep.
Yeah, man. I feel it, man.
It's dope.
Right on.
Yeah, yeah. So we say second issue. I know it says, I just said Prophet number 22, but we talked about this before.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Prophet was an old Extreme Studios comic, which automatically makes it sound terrible.
Yes.
But this is relaunched by Brandon Graham, the guy that writes King City, and drawn by Simon Roy, who's a new talent, as far as I can tell.
Incredible art.
Yeah, definitely. So, and the first issue was cool, but was mostly like establishing, you know, kind of where this world is now.
Right.
Yeah. But this issue is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome. This issue, he basically, Prophet's just kind of he's on some mission that you're not quite clear what it is. Like, he's like, this is going to help me on my mission. And he's traveling to like some faraway place, and the world is dangerous because it's filled with all these, you know, evolved creatures and races of beings. And he finds a caravan and he's like, oh, I'll take this caravan. This will make it go faster. And he gets caught up in this weird ritual and there's a misunderstanding. And,
yeah, a little.
There's a crazy hunter who's out there hunting the most dangerous creatures in the land. And
man.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
No, but, not yeah. man.
No, whatever.
Oh, I thought you said the most dangerous.
Yeah, the most dangerous game. No, but yeah, it's really weird. The creatures, there's really good design on the creatures, and like their caravan's really cool. They're on the back of these giant,
like dinosaurs. I don't even
know how to explain what they
are. Yeah, yeah. Like what makes all the creature design cool too is like
the descriptions.
It's very practical. Like yeah. they describe the way this sort of works, this caravan, which is yeah. kind of gross.
Yeah.
But makes sense as yeah. well. I don't want to kind of tell what it is just because no. it's gross and it's interesting
is, when you read amazing.
It. But yeah, but it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And this issue is awesome. And there's a kind of crazy action scene thing at the
Some
end that's
violence.
Pretty amazing. And it's definitely worth checking out. I mean, if you like stuff like Mobius or you like King City
yeah,
or you like Orcstain or you like good things.
It reads like the classic old heavy metal. Like the 70s. Of this,
yeah, but
like, crazy awesome sci-fi.
I'm going to say this is the best sci-fi comic currently on the stands.
Not, yeah, I think that's probably true. No, this is better than Non-Player.
Oh, see that, everyone? He loved Non-Player. This is better.
This is better.
I think it's better.
Plus, it's got two issues.
Is Orcstain sci-fi? Orcstain's fantasy.
Fantasy. Yeah. yeah.
It's kind of sci-fi. Yeah. I like Orcstain better fantasy. Than this, but it's so good.
Yeah.
Basically, that we're talking about it in the same breath as Orcstain and Non-Player
yep.
should tell you something.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So that's Prophet number 22. Definitely grab Prophet number 21 if you haven't read that. But if yep. you did, hey, this is out.
Soon to be our best ongoing of 2000.
Well, yeah,
that's true.
That is probably true.
So yep. I'm going to predict it now. I'm calling
oh,
it.
Oh, we should start calling it. Yeah, all right.
Should we start calling it? It's pretty early, you guys.
yeah.
It's
yeah.
a good start.
I'm still calling it.
Silence of Our Friends, best graphic novel of the year.
Yeah. No.
So far.
So far, yeah. Well, we just added some good ones this week.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's true. Goliath was really good.
Yeah. Silence of Our Friends was weighty, though.
It yeah. was. It was important, you guys.
It was important.
Like Louis Riel.
yeah, like Louis Riel. all right, so we've got one more book this week.
What you got?
This is
Shoot.
The Superior Hardcover by Mark Millar.
Never heard of him. Oh, the guy who sends us questions all the time?
yeah, and I also have Richard Jordan on here, but that's not right. It's Len Liu.
Richard Jordan.
Richard Jordan's the guy that drew No Place Like Home.
Nice.
But yeah, this has art by Len Liu. I actually only ever read the first two issues of this,
oh,
but
really?
Then yesterday I read this whole trade, and I have to say, I loved it.
It was
pretty
awesome.
Awesome.
I read it as it was coming out, which was
just unfortunate.
What a huge gap between a few of the issues.
Yeah, was that over like a year and a half for seven issues or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. I guess for anybody who hasn't read any of it, it's sort of a modern retelling of the Shazam story a little bit.
Like
it's got a really crazy twist
sure.
that makes it completely different.
Yeah, definitely.
It's about this kid who... who's in love with this superhero called Spear, and he's got like a bunch of movies. And one day this monkey shows up and asks him to make a wish, and he wishes to be Spear and
yeah.
becomes Spear.
And he's got multiple sclerosis.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so, you know, besides being able to walk,
yeah.
he's now able to also fly and
do,
you know,
anything,
and do anything. Yeah. He's, yeah. I mean, the way it's most like Shazam is that he's got basically the same powers as Captain Marvel.
Yeah, and he's like a little kid who turns into like a adult
superpowered
superhero.
Adult.
Yeah. But then it becomes this other thing as well, which I don't want to give away because it's that's kind
twists.
Of the crux of the book.
It's got a really cool twist.
Yeah,
the main thing
really
is
cool
so
twist.
Who is this monkey and how is he able to give him this power? Because this is not in a superhero universe. There are no real superheroes.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is the first person to be able to do this.
Yeah, yeah, and it's well told. The main character is a pretty interesting little kid. His best friend's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
the reporter's a really good character.
Yeah, and I think it's some of Len Liu's best art. There are a lot of yeah. big action set pieces.
Yeah.
And I think where this really shines is in the fact that it has like a heart as opposed to Mark Millar's really
like
cynical stuff
yeah.
that he tends to do. Like this
yeah.
is not like Nemesis.
No.
You know, it's not like Wanted.
This is more like Marvel 1985.
Like I don't want to give too much away, but this book has a happy ending.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, for Mark Millar is definitely something. Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
No rape or murder in this.
Yeah. I mean, probably a couple people die in some of the big action
yeah,
scenes,
yeah.
but
but not like
a couple
yeah.
thousand.
Nobody gets their like ears cut off or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, definitely check it out. I mean, even if you don't like Mark Millar's stuff, usually this is
a
little something
really
different
good superhero
than his
story.
Yeah, yeah, like it reads really well. It all flows together really well. I'm glad I read it all at once, actually, instead of reading it over over the years. So that's it for this week
For reviews.
For reviews.
We don't have any more.
That's only like a million pages.
Yeah. But I'm thinking, you know, I think we should leave these questions until next week.
Oh, we're going to save them?
Yeah, I think we should save them. We were here for a half hour before we started this already.
That's true.
So I think you guys want to do that?
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah. Although we have the answers to the questions.
Yeah. But then we'll forget them by next week.
That's true.
And it'll be
all new.
It'll be a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we should just say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.